morning, guys. What an awesome morning it has been so far. It's been incredible to witness God's blessing and testimony this morning. Thank you, Ben. Awesome. All right. I am bringing you guys the message of this morning. And I would really love to start it with our God is good chant that Ben often does for us. And so I've always wanted to do this up the front. So God is good. And all the time.
God is good. And that is nature.
Woo indeed. God is definitely good. And it's a blessing when we're able to notice his goodness in our lives and praise him and thank him. In fact, it's more than just a blessing. In Psalm 103, verse 1 to 12, it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God's love for you is so great that he does not treat us as we deserve. Instead, he pours out his love as he forgives our sins, as he redeems our lives, as he shows us compassion and grace and chooses to walk beside us as we go through all the different highs and lows. God is good and he is good all the time. And when we remember and hold on to the goodness of God in our lives, we should be led to that place of praise through every aspect as we continue to press into him in obedience and surrender. It begins with having an understanding of who God is and his character, and from there we begin to press into him more. And as we are transformed and made new and walk deeper with God, our lives become a genuine testimony of God's goodness to those around us. And that is what I want for us this morning as we dive into and explore more of this together. I'm going to pray in just a second, but first I want to share that during this Christmas season, I've been trying really hard to focus on and hold on and remember everything that God is showing me and teaching me at this time through the celebration of Christmas, through the birth of Jesus. Because I don't want to slip into the mindset that everything about this Christmas season, all that God has for us, is just for the month of December and then forget about it as the new year comes along. I want to be intentional about pressing into God in ways that lead me to a place of transformation and deeper discipleship and discipline that goes beyond December 25th, impacting how I choose to live and pursue God for the rest of my life. Because this Christmas season is amazing, but it's also short, and godly transformation is a lifetime. And I want that for all of us today as well. So my prayer is that what God speaks to us about this morning will remind us of God's goodness in this Christmas season, but that it will also lead us beyond Christmas and stir our hearts for more of God as we press into him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you now and give you our morning. Lord, however we may feel as we come through these doors and as we've been sitting in church, Lord, whether we feel tired or excited, or our mind is racing with everything else we've got to do in this week to come. Lord, we just want to come before you and be present to you now. Lord, what a blessing, what a joy it is that we get to come to church, that we get to worship you and spend time in your presence as a church family. Help us to just focus on you right now, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you may speak through me in this time, that you may speak to me as well. and that the words that I share, Lord, be your heart for your people. As we come before you this morning, we give you this message, we give you this time, and we ask that your will be done. In your name we pray. Amen. I have a confession to make. I'm not a perfect Christian. And while you don't really have to look very hard to discover that, it can be sometimes hard for us to admit that we don't always get it right. Today's message has challenged me in some really awesome ways as I've wrestled through what I believe God has placed in my heart to share and how I know firsthand just how often I do not do this area of my faith walk very well. Yet here we are, and I'm trusting that just as God has spoken to me through the preparation of this message, that he will speak to all of us here this morning, and together we can grow to be more like Christ. From the very beginning of this message now, I want to make it super clear that I believe that there is a big and important distinction between talking about Jesus to someone, so sharing the good news, and living a life that declares and clearly shows the love of God that you have and know. And I'm not saying that it's not important to talk and share about Jesus with others. And I'm also not trying to suggest that we can never truly share the good news of Jesus Christ if we aren't first living perfect Christian lives, because if that were the case, then none of us would ever be qualified. But I also think that people's lives are truly more impacted by our testimony of words when it aligns with the testimony of our lives. The way that we think and act and live, and the ways that we continue to try and do better in how we think and act and live as we continue to follow Jesus. What we speak and do isn't random. It's a direct reflection of your inner self, your true beliefs, your true desires, and your true motivations. And what better opportunity do we have in this Christmas season than to make sure that our lives and our words are in harmony so that there is a powerful testimony to others of the love and the goodness of God through the birth of his son, Jesus, our Savior, and through the example of our own lives. Our passage that we're going to be looking at today is from Luke 2, and Max did a really awesome job of reading it out for us earlier. And this passage focuses on the shepherds and how they came to meet baby Jesus, and then they went out to tell others about what it was that they had seen and heard. And we're going to be looking at what this passage tells us about how the shepherds responded and reacted to the angels who came to share the good news of Jesus Christ, of his birth with them. And then they went and they shared it with others, and how they displayed that act of obedience to God, not just through their words, but through their actions as well. But before we jump into that passage, I just want to quickly recap. And we have heard this story already, well, this part of the passage already this morning, but I just want to bring it back into our memories. And so Joseph has taken Mary to Bethlehem due to the request for a census, and because Joseph belonged to the house and line of David. And at the time of their travels, Mary was pregnant with baby Jesus. When they were in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to Jesus, wrapped him in cloth, and placed him in a manger because there were no guest rooms available. I'm going to start reading now from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Here we have an account of how angels appeared to some unnamed shepherds in a field and told them about one of the most powerful, incredible, loving things that has ever happened, the birth of our Savior, the Messiah. Why shepherds? Why didn't the angels appear to someone with a better position in society? Why not a high priest or a Roman governor? I'm sure that many of you have heard that being a shepherd was not considered a high or important role in society during Jesus' time. It may have been many years beforehand, but at the time of Jesus, shepherds were criticized and looked down on by others and often viewed as outcasts and no one particularly special. Jewish leaders would often criticize shepherds because their role meant that they couldn't always keep religious rules such as strict Sabbaths. They were considered unclean by some people as well because they would have to touch dead bodies of the sheep, that kind of thing. And they were separated from larger society, partly due to their work as a shepherd, but also because society viewed them as an outcast. And yet God chose these same shepherds, the ones considered unworthy, to be given the news of Jesus' birth. What a powerful reminder that our God is a God for all people. The outcast, the marginalized, the ordinary, the rich and powerful, the broken and struggling, those gripped with addiction, those uncertain and those longing for more. God's invitation for us to come to him through his Son is an invitation to all people. Just as the commandment for us to go and share Jesus with others is a commandment spoken over all of God's children, not just the select few individuals. Which is something that I think is really important. So we're going to look at that again a bit later. But before we do, I want to take a moment to briefly look at a connection between our passage today and parts of the Old Testament. Some of the most well-known people from the Old Testament are those who lived boldly for God and surrendered to his will. People who God invited to be a part of his kingdom work here on earth, and they chose obedience and sacrifice in their decision to follow him. People who witnessed the power of God in incredible ways. And we ourselves, I do sometimes pray that I may be a little bit more like some of these people. Lord, please make me more obedient like Abraham was. Lord, may I be someone after your own heart like David. Teach me to trust you as Moses did in the desert, those types of prayers. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have already picked up on this or not, but something which quite a few of these godly men have in common was that they were also shepherds. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, all shepherds. And while it wasn't frowned upon to be a shepherd during the times of these men, their role was still not one of high ranking. Yet, as many of you know, God still used each of these ordinary people in powerful ways, and their obedience and faith played big roles in God's big redemption story that is woven in from the very moment of the fall to the restoration and the redemption of humanity through the sacrifice of Jesus, and beyond even that, to the time that we look forward to Jesus coming back again. Can you see the pattern that is here? Ordinary shepherds, no one deemed especially special by society, were the first to receive the news of the Messiah and his birth and go and see him. From near the very beginning, God has been inviting ordinary people, ordinary shepherds, to obediently follow him and declare his goodness using their lives for the glory of his kingdom. God's goodness and love is woven throughout Scripture and in our own lives as well, as he calls us all to be obedient and courageous, like the shepherds and the great people of our faith, to say yes to God and surrender ourselves to him so that we may be used by him for his glory. There's a quote on one of the walls up at the Mission Center. Some of you may know it. And this isn't the exact quote, but it goes something like this. And it says, God is more interested in our availability than our capabilities because he knows our possibilities. You are loved by a God who is good who invites you into a journey of faith and trust in him. Are you willing to surrender to him? I want to read through our passage for today again and just highlight some areas for us which I believe reveal the heart of the shepherds to obediently follow God. So we're going to start back at verse 8. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." I don't think there's a single time in Scripture where someone meets with an angel and their initial reaction was not one of fear. And yet, I want to point out that despite that initial fear, I also don't think that there's been any one of them that hasn't responded and said yes to whatever it is that God has asked of them through one of his angels. These shepherds have experienced the power and glory of God in this moment in a way that changes their lives forever, I imagine. And they may be afraid, but they're also quick to listen and to obey. Verses 10 to 14 say, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" I love this response. Sorry. I'm going to jump back a bit. Can you imagine what that would have looked like? A great company of angels appearing and praising God. That's definitely not something that you would be quick to forget. I imagine that that is something that the shepherds held onto for the rest of their lives. And then in verse 15 and 16, it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." I love that response. The instant "let's go." There was no, "Wow, that's cool, but I'm a bit tired. Let's have a rest and head off in a few hours." Or, "I can't believe that just happened, but I can't go just now, not with all of my sheep here, with no one else to look after them." I felt like there would have been an urgency around the shepherds, an eagerness to just get going and see the Messiah, just as the angels had told them to do. So they left, they got up, and they went, and they found baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph, just as the angels said that they would. When I read this part of the passage, I can't help but draw a connection between the shepherds and the response of the disciples to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, where it says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him." The response from the disciples was instant. And not only that, but in that moment, they chose to give up everything to follow Jesus. They were fishermen. Catching fish was how they made a living, how they kept food on their table, how they provided for their families. And yet they recognized that Jesus was worth far more than any of that as he called them to come and follow him. And the shepherds that were tending to the flocks of sheep, that was their livelihood too. How they made money, and they kept food on the table, and they provided for their families. And in that moment of experiencing God's glory and goodness through the angels, they instantly went on their way to go and find Jesus. How powerful to recognize that what Jesus has to offer us is of more importance and value than anything else. That nothing matters more than pursuing him and following him and giving our lives to him. Like I mentioned at the start of my message, this challenges me, and in a good way. How often am I choosing to pursue God as my top priority? Not when life is good or I have a bit more spare time up my sleeve or I feel really close and connected to him. Because if my answer to that is not always, then something needs to change. Something needs to shift. God wants all of us, always. He doesn't just want part of our attention or only parts of our lives. When Jesus says to come and follow me, he means with all of us. Nothing is more important. And if I believe that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, if I believe that he wants to have a relationship with me and walk with me, and if I believe that I am his disciple, am I living in a way that is pursuing him and placing him as my top priority no matter what? Am I focusing on him and seeking him in everything? And am I quick to praise and glorify him in all circumstances? And I really wish that I could give a solid yes to all of those things, but I honestly can't. And I imagine that it's probably the same for many of us here. But you know what? God knows my heart, just as he knows each of your hearts as well. He knows when we are really trying, even though it's hard. And he knows when we don't try at all because he's either not that important or we think he might be, but we'd realize he's not, or we want him to be. Matthew 12, verse 34 to 35 says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say good things? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." And Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, "As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart." How we live, how we speak reflects what our heart is really focused on. You want to know what the most important thing is to you? Look at what you speak about the most. Look at what you give the most time to in your day, and that will clearly show you where your heart is focused. I am so grateful for God's love and his grace and his mercy. Because when I realize that my heart is not pursuing him as it should be, when he isn't the most important thing to me, I know that I can continue to come to him and he is a forgiving and he is a loving father. And I can try again. I am a constant work in progress. I admitted that earlier, not a perfect Christian. But I am thankful that our God knows that and he continues to love us, love me, and call me into more. Let's keep reading through our passage. We're going to go from verse 17 to 20 now. "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Once the shepherds had seen Jesus, they instantly began to spread the good news, to share that the Messiah had been born. And all of those who heard what they had to say were amazed. Through the testimony of the shepherds, they responded in wonder at the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. These men, the shepherds, who were seen as social outcasts, had come to witness baby Jesus and begin to share about all that they had seen and heard, and the people listened to them. I imagine, which is just my theory, that people didn't just listen to them because of the words that the shepherds spoke. But when they realized how the shepherds had come to share as soon as they had experienced the glory of God, that they'd left their sheep to come and see the Messiah, that they were filled with the awe and the wonder at all that they had seen and experienced, that grabbed their attention. And as a result, they themselves were also amazed at all that had happened. The shepherds were sharing out of that overflow of the goodness of God that they had experienced themselves in this moment. Their actions and the testimony of their words, seen and heard by those they came to share with, led to awe and a shift of heart and mind for more people than just the shepherds that day. as we ourselves experience God, whether that be in significant and big moments or simply in our everyday lives, are we allowing his presence to overflow into the lives of others through the words that we speak and the way that we choose to live? Over the last 4 months, Jordan and I have learned a billion different things that have both brought us so much joy and also really challenged us. For those of you who may not be aware, my husband and I recently became parents to two wonderful one-year-old little boy and two-year-old little boy. And to say that this past month, 4 months, have been anything but a roller coaster of experiences and emotions would be an understatement. One of the things that we've always kind of known but are discovering firsthand about children is that they listen and watch everything you do. And they absorb that and then they do the same. And sometimes it's really cute and it's really sweet, and other times it's a big eye opener to the ways that you may need to grow and change yourself. So William, our two-year-old, has been really great at helping us learn exactly that. And I could give you guys an endless amount of examples of the ways that William has repeated the things that Jordan and I have said or done. But I'll share one that's cute. I'll share one that's really sweet. In our house, when someone sneezes, you say, "Bless you," as I'm sure happens in most of your houses. In fact, one of the adults in my house gets rather offended if you don't say "bless you" when he sneezes. So we make a habit of doing it. I wonder who that is. Anyways, these days we say "bless you" anytime someone coughs, sneezes, hiccups, loudly sighs, clears their throat, or makes any sudden loud noises. All because William has decided that a "bless you" is not just for a sneeze. But my favorite part of this, my favorite part, is that if someone sneezes or coughs, William says "bless you," and then he fake sneezes or coughs because he wants you to say it back to him. Every single time, without fail. I shared at the start of the message that I believe that people's lives are more impacted by our testimony of words when they align with our testimony of our lives and how we live. You know, William's an example of that. He's watching what Jordan and I are constantly doing, and we're seeing him act out in that same way in different areas of his own life. And things that we didn't even know that he noticed, things that we didn't even know that he was picking up on, we see it in how he chooses to interact with his environment as well. The way that we live and respond, the actions that we take, and the mindset that we have towards the things of this world are the testimony that we live. If someone was to tell me this Christmas season, or any time really, that God loves me so much that he sent his son Jesus as a baby into this world so that I could be restored to him and know him personally for myself, yet the way that they lived didn't reflect love for God or love for others, then I would hesitate to think that any of their words had any meaning. And so I think that the invitation for all of us this Christmas, as we celebrate with our friends and our family, is that let's make sure that not only are we sharing the good news of baby Jesus with others through the words that we speak, but let's also make sure that our actions and how we are choosing to live also reflects his love. I want to just quickly mention something else from our passage, which I think is pretty cool. What did the angels do once they had delivered the message that God had sent them to deliver to the shepherds? They praised and glorified God. What did the shepherds do once they had gone and witnessed baby Jesus for themselves and then told others about what they'd seen? They praised and glorified God. The greatest testimony that we can give to others of how our God is good is through our own hearts of praise towards him. In every high and every low, when we choose to glorify and praise our Heavenly Father, we are testifying that our God is not only worthy of praise, but that our lives are his in every season. Last week, Nick asked a question at the end of his sermon. He asked, "Where's your heart focused?" And for those of you that were there, You'll remember that he spoke about having a heart of worship, and that it's not just about our worship on a Sunday, but choosing to be focused on God in all that we do. What a beautiful reminder for us. And today I want to add to what Nick spoke about and focus on another aspect of what it means to worship and love our God, and another area that God calls us to keep our hearts focused on him. And that is through how we allow our lives to be a living testimony of who God is and how he loves. As I begin to wrap up this message, I just want to remind us that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And I want you guys to join me in reading Psalm 23, verse 1 to 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In our tiredness, in our busyness, in our joy and in our struggles with this Christmas season, in our mile-long to-do lists of everything that needs to be done before the 25th, remember that Jesus Christ is your shepherd. He is your good shepherd. He provides for all of your needs. He walks beside you through all things. In him, we can find rest and joy and hope this Christmas. In him, we are transformed and our lives become a living testimony of the goodness of who God is. And through his command, we are to take every opportunity that we can to be a living and speaking testimony to all of those around us this Christmas and every day after that as well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus so that we may have a way made for us to live in relationship with you. Lord, what a joy it is to celebrate this Christmas season, to celebrate you, to celebrate what it is that you have done for us, to celebrate your love that you have for us. Help us not to lose sight of that in the midst of the crazy. Help us to remain focused on you in everything, Lord. And as we go into these last final weeks of Christmas, Lord, may our lives be a testimony of your goodness, of your love, of your grace and your mercy that you pour out upon us daily. And Lord, may we not just speak of who you are, but may our actions also, Lord, reveal your truth, your love. In your name we pray. Amen.